A very, very good morning, Luba Mayakisa. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Very well, thanks. And you guys?
Yes, very good. Thank you. We've been talking about anxiety in children, but we've got a lot of anxiety as adults as well. One of our listeners saying, Mervyn saying, is there any wonder when that there's anxiety when the water and electricity gets cut? And of course, as well, and a subject that we wanted to talk about is anxiety for people that are watching insane, what I believe is insane and ridiculous decisions of government. And we're talking about the downgrade. That is very anxiety provoking for people that, you know, that believe in dialogue.
True, Howard, but I think what we have to bear in mind is that the decision by the minister flows from the ANC conference resolution from 2017. So it's been a while, and I think we could have seen it coming. What I would say, though, is that if you look at the previous ANC elective conferences, I think one was in 2014 and another one in, I think, 2010. No, after that. But decisions have been taken at ANC conferences that are against Israel, but they haven't been implemented in the past, except this time they have. And I think that for me is the intriguing issue, is what has been the difference. And I think perhaps that lies largely with the minister we have in Durka, because when we had the previous incumbent, Maite, she steadfastly refused to implement any of those resolutions. And the challenge we have with this one is, as much as we can place blame on her doorstep or the president's doorstep, they can turn around and say, well, it's an ANC resolution. We are deployed to government by the ANC. We have to give effect to ANC policy and resolutions. It's not our call to say yes or no. That's the resolution.
Right.
So that's the difficulty. And especially now, is where do you express your anger? You know, I've seen, for instance, online petitions, and I was saying to people, you can petition the minister provided she has some discretion to go back on her decision. But I don't think she has, because if she does, the ANC will say, that's our resolution. It's not for you to decide. So effectively, that would mean that you would then have a chance of challenging that ahead of the next conference, and that's in what, probably 3 years time or so.
And to your point, Luba, that Lindiwe Sisulu is, that this is very, very much part of her strategy and her ethos. I have a quote from January the 4th, 2008, where she was speaking, and she says, number one, there must be a downgrading of the embassy. Now, this is 2008. Two, please make sure that tomorrow the embassy of Israel packs up and goes to the Dead Sea. Am I correct? Then there's a round of applause. I did take the message through to the commission that was dealing with international relations, and fortunately fell on fertile soil. And she carries on and carries on, and she says, da, 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 da. Unfortunately, the embassy of Israel is not in the Dead Sea. It is very much in Pretoria, and we still have to work very hard to make sure the final request was made and is carried through. So we can see this. This is not when she's a Durka. She's a member of parliament at this point in 2008. January the 4th, and she has a very, very obsessive focus on making sure that the embassy is in the Dead Sea, you know, obviously echoing from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free of Jews, but very, very concerning indeed.
I think of all the ministers we could have got, she's probably the worst for Israel when it comes to the issue of, you know, of being fair on this issue, because I thought the previous minister wasn't particularly fair, but in hindsight, she was a breath of fresh air compared to Minister Sisulu. But remember, she's also made some comments. I know she was in Johannesburg, and even before she became minister, she was giving an undertaking that we need to carry through on this resolution. We need to make sure we implement the conference resolutions, and it wasn't even her department. So I think for her, There's a larger issue at play. I don't know what it is, but she does seem to have quite a serious issue with Israel. The question, though, is what do you do with it? Because when government hasn't taken a decision, it's much easier to lobby them. But once they take a decision, look, all the legalities, you know, I know, for instance, some people are saying it's not her decision to take. It must go to parliament. And I think the next question is, what are the practical effects of this decision? And I think only if it resorts to a change in the visa regime will we feel the pain. If I have to get a visa to go to Israel, or people from Israel need a visa to enter here, I think then we'll feel the pain. But outside of that, as horrible as it is, it may not actually have any match effect at all, really. But if it gets to that push and shove and Israel pushes back and says, well, let's downgrade, the worry for me is where does a tit for tat end? Because
absolutely.
Israel could retaliate and recall the minister. And then with the ambassador, with the minister we have, she seems quite prone to, you know, to acting really in a childish manner. What if she responds? Yeah, I'm saying, will she come to your station? I don't quite know.
No, she'll never come. She'll never come. I do know that she has received the article that I wrote. She has received it personally. Whether she chooses to read it, A, or whether she chooses to respond to it, B, or come into studio, C, is yet to be seen. But I would very, very much doubt that she is at all bothered by any of that.
You see, remember that the challenge you have is that the person who looks after international relations within the ANC, the subcommittee, is Lindy Wazulu, who's no friend of Israel either. So that's what makes this particularly difficult, is that even approaching the ANC itself, you're not getting a warm reception. You've got someone who's openly hostile to Israel. And then do remember that, BDS, the person who's kind of running with affairs in BDS is Tsietsi Magama, who used to be an ANC member of parliament, and he was actually the chairperson of the International Relations Portfolio Committee in parliament. And his views were very anti-Israel. I mean, he was, you could have dialogue with him, but he was firmly entrenched in the other camp. So I think the question is...
So it's very, very well, it's very, from their perspective, it is very well structured. It's almost like an army of people in place to try and destroy this relationship.
Absolutely. You see, this has been my cry when I've been dealing with Christian Zionists, to say that often people will say, we need to pray, and I'll say, look, prayer is wonderful. We need to pray, but we need to pray and act. And people often direct their anger at, let's say, the minister. Whereas if you look at how we got to this decision, this is an ANC resolution from the 2017 conference. But if you went back to probably July 2017, you would have seen the draft resolution. And then earlier in that year, you would have seen the initial resolutions come through from the branches, and then if you go back from that, you've got the branches feeding information to the draft resolution. So where I think we go wrong, as in the Christian community, particularly in Christian Zionists, is many people will say, the ANC is corrupt, the ANC is useless, I hate the ANC. And I say to people, that's fine, but the ANC is making policy, so hating them doesn't help your cause. And what you've got to try and get people to do is to say, how do we understand ANC policy and how ANC formulates policy, and where do I lobby? Lobbying at the conference is too late. I've got to lobby at the branches. So you and I have to say, who's in the local branch in Gauteng or in Cape Town? Who are the members, and what is the discussion? And then we need to be able to influence the discussion at branch level. So when it rolls up to the conference, you see what BDS does very well is they will have people who will be lobbying at the branches. So whatever their wish list is, it makes it to the branches push it forward, and so forth. So I think it's almost like saying you need to fight this battle, but you need to be aware of the rules of engagement and how you engage with it. Because when you get upset at the implementation, it's far too late, and you've really missed the boat. And it's almost like a two-year build-up to the resolution. And I think for me, the lesson is we need to now knuckle down and say, how do we then start making that impact at grassroots changes, at grassroots level? Because make no mistake, I saw an article, I think 2 days ago, where the minister was saying the decision she's taken reflects the views of society, of South Africans. It doesn't reflect
that. Of course not. No, everybody knows. I think she knows it too, but doesn't mean that she
Absolutely.
Will. So here's a question, and we've had a couple of very, very heated conversations on the show. Yesterday in studio, Howard Saxton saying we need to cut off all formal contact with the ANC. There's the South African Jewish Board of Deputies panel tonight. He believes they should be disinvited because of this action. My argument is exactly the opposite. I say you have them there and you have this dialogue and you put difficult questions to them, because otherwise it's so much easier for them to create an environment where they think that everybody agrees with them if they never hear an alternate voice. Listeners being much more on the side of extreme reaction, also a fair amount of criticism from the South African Jewish about the South African Jewish Board of Deputies and how they have handled it. I spoke with Zev Krengel on the show this morning by way of right of reply. He obviously can't reveal everything that they're doing, but certainly went through it in some detail. What is your thoughts in terms of an approach at this point, given the factors that we currently have?
You know, Howard, I think an extreme response won't necessarily help because, look, let's be blunt and say if the Jewish Board of Deputies says, look, we're going to boycott the ANC, we want nothing to do with you, and then the ANC is going to turn around and say, we've got the elections coming up and people think it's an election ploy, and really, to be blunt, the Jewish vote is never going to make the ANC win or lose an election.
Correct.
That's the hard reality.
Not from a numbers point of view, but from an economics and a contribution to society point of view, the Jewish community contributes significantly way above them.
But you're in a pickle because you can't pull that contribution. You see, so whilst the Jewish community does wonderful work and contributes tremendously, you can't then say, look, we're upset with the ANC, we're going to pack up our bags or we're not going to participate in the economy. That's the dilemma that you have.
Of course,
and
I
think for me, the challenge is that you've got to broaden the fight against the ANC, and somehow the Jewish community has to do a better job of somehow getting the Christian community on board. Now, I'm not blaming the Jewish community because the Christian community is not organized in that regard,
right,
but you've got to present a bigger front. And how we do that is difficult. I mean, I've been working on it for a good number of years. But the challenge is for the average South African, this issue is a non-event, and there lies a problem. For the Jewish community, it's something very important. But for the man in the street, including the Christian, it's not a big issue. They don't understand it. And what we need to do is how do we translate it so that we make it an issue that's important for everybody? So I think it's a case of how do we hold hands? How do we build bridges and get the communities to stand together on this issue?
Absolutely right, because that's exactly the point. It needs to be as organized as unfortunately the BDS and the Israel haters are. Do you have any understanding as to why Lindiwe Sisulu is so so venomous towards Israel and so obsessive in her hatred towards the Jewish state?
I don't. I mean, I don't know if there's anything personal in the background.
It has to be. I don't mean it in a positive or a negative or in anything.
Yeah.
There's just no chance that a person with her background and with her intelligence and with her experience is so obsessed, becomes so obsessed about one key issue that she's prepared to jeopardize the country's standing on an international level in order to fulfill her need, and it is a need.
In the past, Howard, I mean, I'm not saying this is the case. I know when I've dealt with people in the ANC Youth League, they've been quite adamant that a lot of money flows and changes hands, and the petrodollars that are quite enticing. So, you know, if you accept those funds, then at some stage there is a request upon you to act in a certain way. I'm not saying that's the particular case.
Right.
It could also well be timed towards the elections because you've got, if you really look at who gets involved behind the whole Israel issue, Palestine issue, it's the Muslim community in this country. And that's the greatest community is in Cape Town. So part of it, I thought, could it be timed towards the elections and trying to appeal? But the problem is her venom predates.
I don't think so.
Whilst it may have a benefit to do with that, it's swaying the Muslim vote, I think she's been venomous for a long time. What that is, I don't know. But it's something seriously big in her life that she wants to really almost run a one-man show in this particular crusade.
Very frightening indeed. Lubomir Kisa, thank you as always for your perspective and your wisdom.